And each problem has its own peculiar quality. The cultural problem of India. How many of us know that gradually our boys and girls are being absorbed by Hindu culture? Very few of us know this. In fact, when some of the parents refused to send their children to England, saying they will be spoiled, I said, what about India? Oh, India no andamati. They do not know what happens to India. It is here in my chest, the secret of what our boys and girls did in India. How they were absorbed by Hindu culture and religion. And I know those people. How they used to attend the mandir for puja on Diwali night to please their Hindu friends. How the recent release of Mahabharata has changed the thinking of Muslim youths in India. And many other things. And in England, may Allah never make my words correct and my prophecy may not ever stand to be true. I pray for that. But the generation after this, that means if I count myself as generation, then my son is the second generation. I take the generation after my son's generation as one of the most dangerous generations to come. We do not know what will happen. What degree of absorption will take place, and how much of religiosity as far as Islam is concerned will remain, I do not know. And those of us who are complacent thinking that alhamdulillah we have achieved quite too much now. We have this Imam Bara, we have that Imam Bara, we have so many people coming here. I think most of us do not know that we are not catering even for 10% or 15% of the people who never appear. And let us go to America and Canada and you have all been there and see what happens. Who is going to solve these problems? Who is going to supply the muballighin? Who is going to prepare the muballighin for this? Who is going to finance this? Political. In Pakistan, most of the houses in Punjab now bear the plaque which says Shia Kafir hai. And there is a badge, Shia Kafir hai. And if you have read the papers, recently a train from Pakistan traveled into the border of Iran, Shia Kafir hai was written on every body. Iran sent it back, saying that go wipe these things off and then enter. But at least this is an evidence that they had the temerity and audacity to enter the Shia country with Shia Kafir written on the train. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I say. The problem is so much of the magnitude one cannot imagine. And we want a marja who will only sit alone and decide this, I believe, will very soon be outmoded and unacceptable. Not only unacceptable, untenable. So what is the proposal I make? The proposal is not new. The first proposal was made by Shaheed Baqir Sadr, rahmatullah. Then supported by Shaheed Mutahari, rizwanullah, of Iran. Recently, Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Fadlullah of Lebanon spoke about it. I have got it in my library. And many other mujtahideen have also said about it. So it is not new. That the marja'iyya, that means the institution of marja, has got to cater for all these needs. And therefore, it cannot be centralized in one man. And there must be a committee. There must be a body of people, representative body, who sit with Al-Faqih Al-Ma'moon, that means the Mujtahid. While Mujtahid will guide on matters of fiqh, other specialists will sit together with him to guide him and the Ummah on matters of education, on matters of religion, on matters of culture, on matters, and attend to their needs. This is what I say. And such a body will be marja and not a person. There has got to be a body comprised of specialists. Not necessarily all of them ulama or fiqh. When I say this is something which Sayyid Baqir's father, Shaheed al-Mutahari, did not agree with. My opinion is that I disagree with them. Because in all speciality, you don't need a faqih. There is one faqih, who is of course our marja of taqleed. But in other specialists, our marajin cannot always be the faqih. I don't want to be sarcastic. But how can a faqih, we may be a faqih, but how can he know of what is happening if he does not know where Bosnia is in the world map? If he does not know whether Zanzibar is in Tanzania or Tanzania is in Zanzibar? Who does not differentiate between a country and a city because it is foreign to him? Who cannot understand even the cultural needs of a particular people? Who cannot tell us how much we should assimilate and how much we should reject? It's my challenge as a thinker in this community, whether I am accepted or not is something else. But as an independent thinker, it's my challenge to them that the specialists have got to be from different vocations, sitting with the marja. The marja should guide only when we have a depth in faith. If we do something haram, then he will say, no, you will not do this. But otherwise, in matters pertaining to all those facts of life, we must have specialists from different vocations. There must be a two-way traffic between the people and the marja. We must be allowed, as ummah, to have a share in the opinion-making body. And therefore we must have representatives. And when we say we, I mean the ummah, not the coalition, not the community, not the World Federation, don't try to misunderstand. And it is something which I would like to support with the constitution of Iran. When Ayatullah, Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, prepared the constitution of Iran. I have an Arabic version of it here. I will translate into English. I must caution you that in English translation, which has been officially also published by government of Islamic Republic of Iran, some terminology may differ, but that is because of the translation, not the meaning. So don't blame me tomorrow that it is not there in English. You'll find it, but you might find some changes in terminology. In Article number 5 of the Constitution of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam al-Khomeini said, تكون ولاية الأمر والأمة في غيبة الإمام المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه في جمهورية إيران الإسلامية للفقيه العادل التقي العارف بالعصر الشجاع المدبر المدير والمدبر الذي تعرفه أكثرية الجماهير وتتقبل قيادته. The person, the marja, the wali amr, the one who is in authority in Iran, in the days of the ghaiba of Imam alayhi salam, shall be one who is faqih, proficient in these things. Mujtahid and faqih. Al-adil, he must be a man of probity and justice, a man of impeccable behavior. At-taqi, fearing God, warding off all evil from his conduct. Al-arifu bil-asr, fully aware of the contemporary issues. I'm asking Imam al-Khomeini, is it not enough for him to be a faqih? His answer will be no, because he has got to organize and administer the ummah. Therefore, he must know what is happening. Al-arifu bil-asr, knowing the contemporary issues, knowing his present time. Al-shuja, he has got to be brave. I would not like to go deep into this, but you understand what it means. Al-mudir, an administrator. Al-mudabbir, an intelligent organizer. الَّذِي تَعْرِفُهُ أَكْثَرِيَةُ الْجَمَاهِيرِ, who is well known in by the public and those who accept his leadership. This is what the Iranian government is. And then Allah provided. A very intelligent person he was. He knew that this could not happen sometimes in one man. You can't have always Imam Khomeini. What will happen when he is not there, or a person like him is not there? In article number 7, إذا عرفت وقبلت الأكثرية الساحقة من الشعب بمرجعية وقيادة أحد الفقهاء جامع الشرائط المذكورة في المادة الخامسة من هذا الدستور كما هو حادث بالنسبة للمرجع الديني الكبير قائد الثورة الإسلامية آية الله العظمى الإمام الخميني تكون لهذا القائد ولاية الأمر وكافة المسؤوليات الناشئة عنها وفي غير هذه الحالة وفي غير هذه الحالة فإن الخبراء المنتخبين من قبل الشعب يبحثون ويتشاورون حول كافة الذين لهم صلاحية المرجعية والقيادة فإذا وجدوا أن مرجعا واحدا يملك ميزة خاصة للقيادة فإنهم يعرفونه باعتباره قائدا للشعب وإلا فإنهم يعينون 3 أو 5 مراجع جامع الشرائط باعتبارهم أعضاء في مجلس القيادة ويعرفونهم للشعب. Is a person in such known with such qualities as mentioned in clause 5, then he shall be the marja and he shall be the leader. And if it is found in one man the way it has been found in Ayatollah Khomeini, then Ayatollah Khomeini will be the one. But if it is not possible to find one, then either 3 or 5 mujtahideen must be appointed. Faqih, adil, taqi, arif bil asr, that means knowing the present time, who will take over, and the people will be made aware of such an effort. It means very evidently that today we accept one marja' of taqleed and we do his taqleed and we think everything is over. The need of the times are different. I write a letter, I say this very openly, to marja and say that there is an orphan girl I want to get married. And there is a gentleman who wants to pay from Sahme Imam. Kindly allow. And the answer comes no. Or use 30% of £1,000 I want to give to that. The question is, did he know about this girl? Does he know the situation of this girl? Does he know how needy is this girl? No, he does not know. Rather than saying give one third or don't give, the answer should have been that you, as my wakil, make an assessment. And if you are satisfied, give. And this is how marja'iyah has to work. where people representing merger are all over the world who are reliable to them. And then the work goes on. It is something unthinkable that a ruling comes from a quarter where the actual situation has not been conveyed, or rather is not known. And therefore, I find it totally unacceptable. Marjaiya has got to change. As far as this is concerned, we are sure that this is correct. But as far as Marjaiya of Ummah is concerned, either it is detached from this, and if it is going to be kept together, then it has got to be in the form of a committee, in the form of an organization, in the form of a representative body, where Marjaiya is tackled simultaneously by people of different professions and different professions. Whether the world accepts this or not today, because as I said earlier when I opened, I spoke about this with the ulama here and with the ulama in Iran, I was told a very interesting thing. He said, Mullah Sahib, you come up with this and we will support, but we can't come up. Because nobody would like to stick out his neck. And thereafter, of course, there have been some speeches made recently here in Arabic. I have got them in my file, of course, which affirms and confirms what discussions we have had with them. But not a single person could tell me that my proposal here was irrational. It is quite rational. It does not in any way defeat the sanctity of a merger. No. It is not against any merger. The merger who have passed, they did what they did according to the times in which they lived. Now the time is different. And I do not censure them. I don't underestimate them. They were sacred. They were people who should be honored. They did whatever the demand of the time was. But the times are different. And if the Ummah does not accept, there was a time when he who never dabbled in politics was supposed to be the most pious. Because he is totally detached from politics. Oh, he is very pious. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give unto Jesus that which is Jesus'. This is how we were in earlier days. The most pious was the most inequivalent, political. What about Imam Khomeini then? Was he impious, Nauzubillah? Why did he get into politics? Because it is a part of this in Islam, church and state, if we call our mosque church for a while, places of worship or our religious institution, state and church go together. And this is what Imam Khomeini said, As-siyasatu huwa ad-din, wa ad-din huwa as-siyasa. How can I see Muslims being trampled upon and say, no, this is politics, this is not for me. For me is to tell them how to do jinabah to Muslims. That's all. Or how to do wudu. That's all. So, there may be as many questions as you wish to ask. I will not claim to satisfy you on all those. I'll answer. I'm not trying to put anything down your throats. But think of this. And inshallah ta'ala, one day, if we are alive, we shall come to see that this will be acceptable norm, and there is no other norm. Imam al-Gulpai Ghani, whom we have accepted, most of us, as marja, is our marja of taqleed. As far as marja'iyat of Ummah is concerned, I have made my views known to him. Unfortunately, our own people have written letters to him saying that why did you give this sort of wide authority to Mullah Sadr? The authority that has come to me is meaningless if it cannot be implemented the way I have proposed. And that authority does not add anything to my intellect and my reason. To consider such authority as an addition to my intelligence is an insult to my intelligence. I consider it as an insult to my intelligence. I am an independent thinker the way you are. And therefore, these things, these ornaments don't add to my own capabilities. Somebody takes it away. It doesn't make me anything lesser than what I am. And it gives me, doesn't make me anything more than what I am. I'm there, wherever I am. But the sickness of the human mind is quite evident from this. Minds are sick. I refuse to accept any authority which does not cater for the needs of Ummah. Except in the matters where it is applicable. Of course I will accept. He tells me this is halal, it is halal, he tells me this is haram. But that is marja of taqleed. In marja of Ummah, there has got to be a wider. I have been very kind in my statements. I have not been abrasive. Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Fazlullah, who is an alim of great repute in Lebanon, has written something which I cannot even quote. But if anyone is interested, I'll show him what he said. He has been really abrasive. And he has written that while Ayatollah Khomeini was still alive. And that interviews with me, if anyone is interested. And he is a wakil of Ayatollah Khomeini also. That thing I will not say. But I will say definitely that I have conveyed to you my views. Listen to this tape again and again. And try to understand it. And may Allah guide us to the right path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Mullah, I've got one question. What you have said is that if it is carried forward and implemented, then would the task of Al-Khibra not become easier in choosing the mujtahid for the taqlid purpose?
Very easy. The task of Al-Khibra will become easier. At the same time, the participation of Al-Khibra will become more. Because Al-Khibra are the people who know. So, as far as decision making is concerned for an A'la mujtahid or a faqih, it becomes easier. And as far as participation is concerned, they become more actively participating. But Al-Khibra are the ulama. They will be able to see as to how they can work for the ummah in many other aspects. Yes, Professor.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This particular proposal was in the law since the time of Marhum Bashir al-Assad. How come that up till now it hasn't been taken up either by the learned people or the mujtahideen?
You see, there are certain thinkers in Islam who lived ahead of the time. Just as anywhere else, Shaykh Khan lived ahead of his time. And if you allow me someday to speak on what happened to Shaykh Khan in the center of Sunday, then I will deal with it. Something which you will shake. For only having written back what he suffered and he had to undergo. So it was perhaps too early. But whatever he wrote, is true to the letter, except very many words from some detail. Yes, sir.
Are you looking at this committee to being theocratic or theodemocratic in the sense of the constitution of Iran really being theocratic?
As far as the who is concerned, the destiny, the goal is to make it a theocratic state. But in Islam, the process to achieve that goal is theodemocratic. Or at times it is also anthropocentric. Because when you say it is theocentric, it means the rule of God will apply. But the process which will carry you is anthropocentric, where the human beings with consultative assemblies, consultations, parliaments will achieve that goal. The supervision will be of that marja, who is the faqih, who will guide and guard us from the people. So the process is anthropocentric. It is, in other words, theodemocratic. So the goal to be achieved through this, because there is going to be no revelation now. The revelation as far as Islam is concerned is out forever. Mahmoud.
If the committee is formed and the Marjah agrees at the head of the committee, and among the committee members are those who are also of the higher caliber, will there not be a conflict of understanding?
I don't see why there should be any conflict. If you can elaborate, I'll then be able to understand.
Yeah, so for example, if the Marjah is someone who wants to implement the social or economical implementation, while the Marjah is saying there's an other priority that he wants to divert into another system, will there be a sort of a...
Well, as it is democratic, there will not be a conflict. There might be some delay here and there. If a Marja has some priority, it is not his prerogative then, because this will be a joint decision. In matters of fiqh, there is no democracy. There is one mujtahid who guides us. In other matters, there will be democracy, and therefore it will be by vote. No conflict. There is no priority as such to be kept by anyone. The work of the mujtahid will be well defined, that he will only watch. Is there anything wrong being committed as far as fiqh is concerned or not? The rest will have to go by the thinkers of the community to believe what priorities should be set. That's all. As simple as that.
You have a council of people who strictly say, go with them, discuss with them, and give us most of the time.
As far as my knowledge goes, those counselors are ulama who sit with him on matters of fiqh. It is quite evident that the most they can sit on the matters of Iraq if the mujtahid is in Iraq, or they can sit on the matters of Iran if the mujtahid is in Iran. But for no fault of theirs, because there is no such representation, they may not know anything.
Anything stops the Marja to have a council of such
people? Does not stop. Only that they have to accept this idea. They at the moment are thinking they were trying to usurp the power which we are not trying to usurp. They are trying to help them out so that the Ummah achieves the maximum benefit of the Marja. We are not interested in that sort of power. There are so many examples. I fear of being abrasive, otherwise if I go out to speak things in, because it will be really construed differently. But I can say that there is nothing of that sort going on as far as counseling is concerned. May I give an example? In 1964, Zanzibar was toppled, and how many people got out of Zanzibar within 3 years? 3 years, not yet. There was a jamaat of 3,000 people, at least 2,500 to 2,700 people had to be displaced, correct? From 1964 onwards till 1970, Tanzania had a tumultuous era of acquisition and nationalization and whatever. In 1972, Uganda happened, and the whole community from there was uprooted, together with all other Asians, of course, we are talking of our community. And scattered, not even to say that they were brought to one place, no, scattered. Some here and some there. Families were disunited. Correct? And then onwards, take one or the other, the era that we have faced, not a single proof of awareness is available from the quarters of the Marja. Till recently Somalia was displaced. And people of Somalia are now elsewhere. And you know what has happened. We do not want money. Alhamdulillah, this community has not sought that sort of assistance. People
paid from their own pockets. We wanted one letter of sympathy, which we did not get. And therefore I say, and I can say much more, but we are not second-class Muslims.
Is this way of each person, doesn't the merger itself realize it?
I'm sure he would, provided he told. I'm sure. I respect all the Maharajas and I know that they are really all armed to help. But I should be given, you should be given, he should be given chance to go and see him and talk to him, not only as one visitor has come, no, as one who represents and has membership on the particular council to say, this has happened in my community, I need this sort of a, this is my program, and this is the planning, and I want this sort of guideline from you. And the committee has got to think of this. Then, of course, you'll find him forthcoming and very sympathetic. But if I can't get to him, if my letters would not reach him, if I can go and see him, and if I went and saw him only as a visitor and went away back after the hour and things were forgotten, then? And how much can I tell him? Because there must be someone from today, what is happening was the last that I said, and I say this again. Do you know what is happening there? Apart from killing and massacre and all that. Do we know what is happening here now that we have come? Is it too much asking any manager for that matter to issue one letter for the flood victims of Pakistan? Is it too much? Have you seen anywhere? Any letters for any marja? Do you know what is happening in Pakistan? Something unthinkable. People are talking of flood, it's all under flood. The ground has slipped under the families and the whole town has sunk. Villages have gone under. People thinking of running away were actually devoured by the ground, and then nothing but a plain there. 24 feet of waves striking the mountain and returning back to the locality, wiping the people off. More than 1,000 villages are no more there in Pakistan. This magnitude of calamity falls over Shia, 40% of them are Shia Ismailis, 40% of the affected people. Have you seen any letters from him? Any announcement that we are sorry or we grieve this? No. Just asking too much. In Afghanistan, how many were killed? In India, do you know what is happening in Kashmir? Do you know what is happening in India? I believe, my friends, that apart from Muslims and Shias and all that, there has got to be a marja'iyah which also sometimes thinks it wise to speak in terms of humanity. What about apartheid in South Africa? I don't say that the marja'iyah is not forthcoming. The time has come, my friends, that the representation of marja'iyah is not through the sons and son-in-laws. The representation of marja'iyah is through the people and through the representatives. And if we don't wake up now, it's going to be very difficult. We should wake up. We don't want to throw any gauntlet. But we want to tell them clearly that we understand we are people, we
We want to respect you. We want your guidance. And unless we are heard, as I say, Imam, the right Imam, if he's an Imam Ma'sum, of course he will know. But otherwise he has to be told. And for that there is going to be a machinery. Mechanics must be worked out immediately. And a paper must be issued for them to read and understand. Whether they will accept it or not, from our own people, whether we will accept it or not, is a matter of debate. But of course I understand it. It's too early for me to say. I say that I have put my proposal. I have shown him my system of work. A small comment. It's very much appreciated, but then it is implemented for the wider spectrum of Ummah or not. But remember, Mustafa and my friends, that we haven't achieved much in this impasse if we think that now we already got a Mustafa and others have got other Mustafa. As far as Mustafa is concerned, there's no problem. You can have any ayat as long as you are convinced. There's no question, no comment whatsoever. No one has the right to tell the other why you just that Mustafa. No, that's out of place. But we haven't achieved anything, my friends, if anybody is taking pride in it. No. The problem, and I broadcast and write in your diaries, the problem will be after this. When the community will be divided, the Ummah will be divided. Thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is at least one Buzurgwar, one elderly Mujtahid was alive, who stood in line with Ayatullah al-Hakim and Ayatullah Shaykh Abdul Karim al-Hayri and Shaykh Guru Jarni and Agha Kuyakis, he stood in line with the line. But he is 96. He is 1 year older than Agha Kuy. Ayatullah Kuy was born in 1317. Ayatullah Kuyakis was born in 1316. 1 year older. And there is another Mujtahid whose name was taken by Iran, whose name is Agha Araki, who is now 112. Some say he's 106, but all of them agreed in over 100. He is Ayatollah Khomeini's teacher. Right? We pray that Allah will grant him long life. Fine. But then, we are all human beings and thinking human beings. We are not dumb and dust. And therefore, I tell you gentlemen that we will come to a problem after this. Prepare ourselves for the time of Marjaniya that we would like to have. If you remember my first speech that I made here in Stanmore on the Fatiha of Ayatullah Al-Khoi, I said the problem is not of finding the Marja, the problem is this type of Marjaniya. Very few understood me then. And those who understood me, they came to hell of time for me. The telephones started coming in, letters started calling in anonymously. As to what you think you are, I don't think I'm anything. But as a thinker, I have a right to say. This is the type of Marjaniya thing. We are turning the 21st century, and this is going to be the demand of the time. And whether we like it or not, this is a future shock we must bear. Or either prepare ourselves. So please think. Ruminate over this. We are meeting each other when? We are meeting on 7th of November. If there are any continuous problems with your mind, you can bring those questions on that night, inshallah ta'ala, I will answer. But then,
you put in the two particular sections of the Constitution of Islam in 5 and 7. I presume that after five is no longer applicable than one person. Perhaps you might wish to observe as to what the state of affairs are, as to how far the seven section is implemented.
I know this much as a moment that Vilayatul Amr, that means this Marjariya or this particular position has been now vested in Araya Khamenei, Sayyidani Khamenei, as Rabbi, as Waliul Amr, and he's as a man who will look up. And he's not alone. He has got a parliament, and he has got also the committee of Khubragan, that means the committee of the ulama who sit with him in the knowledge of the people. So it may not have been implemented strictly on the terms of 5 or 7, but it has been implemented in a broader sense, in the sense that he is there, and backing him is a group of great ulama, under them is the parliament. So there is that machinery. I do not say that Ayatollah Khamenei, for example, is not worrying. Ayatollah Khamenei is worried about the whole Shia world. I have spoken to him alone. He has told me some of the things which I would not like to quote, but I am sure that he is worried about the whole Ummah. There are some confidential reports that he sends me, his office sends me. I read what is happening here and there. It comes by special mail. If the Marja'iyya was united or combined in him as a Marja of Taqlid and also as Marja of Ummah, then that would be a different thing. Today the Marja'iyya, as far as the ulama and Khubraga and Ahlul Khibra are concerned, is this way. And therefore, there is a limit to which Ayatollah Khamenei would go. That way you are doing for the Ummah, you are doing for the Ummah. How many of us are doing for the Ummah? Everyone according to his pocket and time is doing for the Ummah. But that is not my subject. My subject is that we have got to have a central guideline. And that is something from which will emanate the power of Shia. And no one can talk against Shias or Muslims if there is that power. Today it is all scattered, because there is no unanimity on any subject. If I go into that subject, then of course I'll have another 1 hour to tell you why Saddam is still not talking. Why? What are the problems? The problems are that there is no unanimity on any subject. اتفقوا على ألا يتفقون. They have agreed or not agreed.